and our subject matter this evening, devotees. And it would have been yesterday evening, but unfortunately I just couldn't make it. But the basic point is giving and getting good association. That's what we'll discuss tonight. And tomorrow, well, let's see how it goes. But tomorrow, perhaps, we'll discuss giving and getting bad association, the other side of the coin. And unfortunately, from time to time, coughing may happen, so please just tolerate. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, so association. Association is one of the basic principles in Krishna consciousness, and it's, if you think about it, you'll see that so much of what we do in Krishna consciousness is, it involves, or it's part of, or association is there. It's really a very important factor. For example, just as an example, we were having the arti and the kirtan just a few minutes ago, and we were singing Hare Krishna, we were singing other things, but we were singing Hare Krishna. And what is Hare Krishna? It is association. Krishna, Radha and Krishna are present. When we chant, we're associating with them. And then, of course, in front of us were the deities. And the Lord is present in the deities. Even it happens sometimes, deities speak to devotees. It, of course, it is not at all common, but it happens. They speak, even sometimes they move, because they are not just statues, just some sort of, as some people think, just some device to remind us. But actually, the Lord is present in the deity form. Then, here's a good one. Prasadam is actually a form of the Lord. We will, I believe, later be taking some prasadam. And rather than just think about how it tastes nice, etc., which it does, but we should try to appreciate that the Lord is present. And even, you know, sometimes we're in some holy places and they're giving out little scraps, microscopic practically, scraps of prasadam, but everyone wants to get a little bit because it's a form of the Lord, it's so beneficial. Then even devotional service itself, Krishna is present in devotional service, and the devotees, Krishna is present with the devotees, and there's various other things we could think of. Did I mention the books? Okay, it's on my list, but so now. The books. The Lord is present, and he speaks to us through his books. Like I mentioned, sometimes deities speak, or sometimes devotees, people have dreams of the Lord, and the Lord speaks in a dream. And oftentimes people who are sort of a bit on the shallow side spiritually, they think, if I have a dream of Krishna or someone like that, oh, this is very wonderful, if Krishna speaks to me. But you pick up Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's just speaking to you completely, the whole time, and very systematically, and you're not in tamagun, which normally you are when you're sleeping. So association is a very foundational element in the picture of Krishna consciousness. What Krishna consciousness consists of, association in different ways. And let's see here. I chose a verse. It's an interesting verse. It's a verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion. Listen to this. Yasyat sangati pumso manivatsyat satadguna swakula ridyaye tato diman swayutan eva samshayet. Let's see. In which a certain person, I'll let you guess who the certain person is addressing his own son. My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it. Who do you think that is speaking? Take a wild, unlikely guess. It's Hiranyakashipu speaking to Prahlad about association. Hiranyakashipu, of all people, you could practically say, just of all people. And even he's saying association is very important, and it acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it. So, in other words, devotees, whoever we associate with, or to be more precise, whoever's association we accept and we really imbibe and we really focus on and we really take it into our hearts, then we will reflect that. Sometimes, of course, well, like a classic example, we go out distributing books and we're out there for hours meeting dozens and perhaps even hundreds of people, and they're all just virtually just total materialists or in states of tremendous confusion. This is what they're like. So does that mean we shouldn't go out because we may become confused? No, we should give them association. We should not take their association. We shouldn't listen to them. If they start expounding their theories of life, stop them. And you should control the discussion. So, now, the association with devotees is so valuable. It's so valuable. Of course, there's devotees and devotees, but particularly, you know, really very serious devotees. It's so valuable. Here's a sequence of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam 9:4, 63-65. And this is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking to Devasa Muni. It's from that pastime, if you're familiar with it. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aham Bhakta Paradi no Hyasvatantra Ivaduja, Sadhu Bhya Grasta Hridayo, Bhaktair Bhakta Janapriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahman, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cause of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. And I don't want to sort of go off on a tangent, but how the Lord expresses himself here at the end of the translation of the verse. It's interesting that what to speak of my devotee being very dear to me, even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. What is the implication of that, thinkers? The implication is that there are the devotees, but then there are other people who are not, there are the devotees of the Lord, but then there are other devotees, other people who are not devotees of the Lord, but they are devotees of devotees. Somehow they're dedicated to devotees for whatever reason, but they are. Otherwise, why would the Lord bother saying, what to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me? He could just say, my devotees are very dear to me. If they're in that category, that they're also devotees of him. Nahamat manamasha se madbhaktai sadubhya vina. Shriyam Chatyantikam Brahman Yesham Gatir Aham Para. This is continuing, it's the next verse. O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. This is very deep. This is very, very, very deep indeed. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's an interesting little incident which is sort of illustrating this, is that at some point in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Narada Muni visits Vaikuntha. And what does he find? Vaikuntha is vacant. There's nobody there except one old man. And the old man says, well, he asks the old man, what happened? Even Lord Narayan's not there. Even Lakshmi Devi's not there. What to speak of the devotees? So Narada asks the old man, what happened? Where did everyone go? And the old man says, Lord Chaitanya has started his Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. Everybody has gone there. Everybody. Yeah. So, the Lord, well, he says here, without the devotees, I don't desire to enjoy my, you know, his extraordinary opulence and majesty beyond our wildest imaginings. He's not interested if the devotees are not there. So the Lord, in other words, another way to put it perhaps, is that the Lord comes under the control of his devotees. Not that it's just like everyone, like all of us here in PE, that Krishna is just going to come under our control tomorrow. Or if not tomorrow, the next day. Not really. But with very, very special devotees. Krishna comes under their control. And Krishna becomes the humble, submissive servant of his devotees. And even, what to speak of controlled? Well, controlled. But perhaps what to speak of that? But he becomes overwhelmed by the association of his devotees to the point that he loses sometimes his sort of competency and starts going a bit, you know, otherwise, yeah, kind of, yeah, a bit dilly, you could say. And in Nectar of Devotion, there's a famous story, you may have heard of it. Krishna was feeling unhappy, sort of embarrassed, actually, that whenever Srimati Radharani and the gopis, but particularly Srimati Radharani, walks by, if I'm carrying something, I drop it. If I'm doing something, I start doing it wrong. If I'm moving around, I turn around, I walk into the wall. Or if I'm speaking, I start speaking some sort of, you know, nonsense, affected by the love of Srimati Radharani. So in Nectar of Devotion, there's a description how one time Krishna decided, this is not going to happen anymore. From today on, I am going to be cool, calm and collected. And I'm going to be very organized and very focused and on the ball. And I'm not going to do any of these silly things and incompetent things. So, okay, that was his determination. Then life was going on. He went out to milk the cows. So he's milking the cows. And along comes Srimati Radharani and some of the gopis. And they see, there's Krishna milking the cows. And they're expecting he's going to do something strange. But he didn't, because Krishna was cool. He was milking the cows, and that's what he was doing. Yeah. No problems. So they're watching Krishna, and they're kind of impressed. And Krishna's feeling good. Yes, just see, I'm together. Look at this. Suddenly the gopis just started screaming with laughter and just roaring. And Krishna, pointing at Krishna, look at him, what is he doing? And Krishna thought, well, what happened? You know, I'm cool, I'm together. And as Nectar of Devotion describes, Krishna noticed he was milking a bull. So, association of devotees. Well, let's read another verse from the sequence. It's the Supreme Lord speaking. Ye dharagara putrapta pranam vitam imam param hitvamam sharanam yata katam tams chaktum utsahe. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives, simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next. How can I give up such devotees at any time? So in other words, if the association of devotees is so valuable, even for the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, then what to speak of us? Yeah. And we noted that, I mean, I don't know if you heard or not, but when, you know, Prabhupada came from India on a ship and, you know, he was basically on his own, although there were other people on the ship and he sort of associated with them to some degree. But then he started the movement, and Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would travel, at least after a certain point, or practically any time, when he would travel, he would always take a devotee with him. Pretty much always. In fact, I would say always. Yeah. So let's just move on a bit. Let's see here. So, yeah, devotee association is so valuable. Even the Lord wants it. Let's see here. This is all part of a seminar I do sometimes. Here's an interesting one. This is now, what is it? I think it's, actually I'm not sure what it is, but it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe Adi Leela chapter 7 or 9. Lord Chaitanya is talking about how to protect oneself from offenses. Lord Chaitanya is talking about the cultivation of devotional service as being like the growing cultivation of a creeper, the bhakti lata. I mean, we use that term fairly frequently, the creeper of devotional service. So, Lord Chaitanya, in order so that we don't get into trouble, Lord Chaitanya gives some advice in one verse. He says, the gardener, that means the devotee who's trying to cultivate the creeper of devotion, the bhakti lata, the gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. I don't know if we ever really thought about it like that. You know, we've heard of offenses, at least if you've been attending the programs for some time. You heard about offenses, no doubt. And this emphasis is given to not committing offenses, and if somehow you do, try to make up, but basically to not commit. So, but did we ever consider offenses in these terms? That offenses, according, this is now Lord Chaitanya himself speaking, offenses here are described as being an elephant. An elephant. And the creeper, of course, the creeper is trying to grow in the garden of the heart. And we're trying to water the creeper and, you know, feed it and protect it. In the garden of the heart. Now, if you have an ordinary garden, like here we have, even by typical standards, it's a fairly large garden. If an elephant came in and, you know, got a bit agitated, the elephant in minutes, perhaps, or even seconds, I don't know, but quickly, the elephant could destroy our garden. Really destroy. So it would become irreparable, actually. Yeah. So if the elephant of offenses enters the heart, the garden of the heart, where we're trying to grow the creeper of devotion, the bhakti lata, then if we allow that, you can get into just really serious trouble. Because elephants are just wild elephants. I mean, generally elephants are wild. Even if elephants are tamed, they're not domestic animals like dogs. They're still wild animals. If you don't watch out, they do wild things. Like our elephants in Mayapur, they've mildly attacked a number of devotees who went in sort of like, hurry ball elephants, wow, great, devotee elephants. And the devotee elephant, I don't know why, but gave one of them, you know about that, right? A slap with the trunk, and I'd not broke the arm, but damage the arm. Yeah. These are powerful creatures, and they're wild. There's a famous story. So famous you might not even have heard it. But on Padyatra in India back in the 80s, they had a Padyatra which concluded in 1986, which was the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So they did a whole Padyatra around England, finished in Mayapur. I guess must have been Gopanema 86. So anyway, there was quite a lot of them traveling around, all around India. And they had an elephant. They had an elephant who went all around India with them. And the elephant liked it. She liked it. But there was one thing she didn't like, was if someone walked in front of her while they're going through the streets. She didn't like that. And she would flick them, the person, with her trunk. And, you know, the person would come back. So the story goes that they were in somewhere in South India and some village of really nice people, devotees, and it was just ecstatic. And they stayed over, they had a program, and you know, the next day or a couple of days later, they moved on, and half the village came with them for some distance, and it was, you know, it was just really nice. And there was one elderly devotee who was very enthusiastic from the village. And the elderly devotee, he just got fired up. And in the kirtan, he started coming towards the front. And then he came to the front, in front of the elephant. And the elephant flicked him. And maybe someone told him, hey, you should come back. So he came back. But then, you know, he got a bit too ecstatic. And he came in front again. And the elephant flicked him again. And devotee said, hey, come back, you know, watch out. But then a third time he went in front. And this time the elephant didn't flick him. The elephant picked him up in her trunk, lifted him up, threw him on the ground, and trod on him. And that was Goloka Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. That was the end of that. That was the end of that, devotee. So, mad elephants, watch out for mad elephants, because mad elephants, they're dangerous. They should never be underestimated. So, let's see. Let's read Prabhupada's purport to that verse. Let's read the verse again. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. Purport. While the bhakti creeper is growing, the devotee must protect it by fencing it all around. The neophyte devotee must be protected by being surrounded by pure devotees. In this way, he will not give the maddened elephant a chance to uproot his bhakti creeper. When one associates with non-devotees, the maddened elephant is set loose. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnav Achar, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 2287. The first business of a Vaishnav is to give up the company of non-devotees. A so-called mature devotee, however, commits a great offense by giving up the company of pure devotees. Please consider these things. How's this? You know the story of Maharaj Bharat, don't you? Fifth canto. You know the story. Fifth canto. Became a deer. Okay. Anyway, he became attached to a deer. He was on the level of Bhava as a king. But then he sort of became somewhat elderly, and the time came to leave home. So he left home. Sort of late middle age, perhaps, something like that. He left home and he went to the forest to just focus on Krishna. But a deer, it's a long story, but a deer came along, a little deer, and he became attached to the deer. He became very attached to the deer, just like completely. And then he died thinking of the deer, and he took birth as a deer. Fortunately, in a sense, but fortunately, because he had been a great devotee, when he took birth as a deer, he remembered how he had been a devotee. So as a deer, he went to an ashram and lived like in or next to the ashram and took prasadam and associated with the devotees. And then in his next life, he became Jad Bharat. He again became a devotee, human, and perfected his life. But there was this kind of heavy interlude when he was in the body of a deer. Now, Bharat Maharaj, before the deer incident, he had been a great devotee. He had been on the level of Bhava. Bhava is part of perfection. Devotees with all, and what should I say, humility. I don't think any of us are on the level of Bhava. In fact, we're not. But he was. He was much more advanced, much more, considerably more than any of us, perhaps than all of us put together. But anyway, at least more than any of us, for sure. But because of bad association, he became bewildered. He became attached to the deer. And he started thinking this deer is sort of like God's gift to the world. And he would glorify the deer and even offer prayers to the deer and say things like, this planet has become fortunate to have the touch of the lotus feet of this deer. In other words, sure, he lost it in a big way, really did. So we might say, I'll never do that because I know, I wouldn't fall for that. Overconfidence is not a good quality in a devotee. Particularly complacency due to overconfidence, thinking that I'm more qualified than what I really am. It's not a good quality. Rather, humility is such a vital quality. Humility. So he thought, it's okay, no problem. But we should be thinking, it's not okay, say, to lose the association of devotees or to get some bad association. We should know that it's not okay at all. Yeah. In fact, Srila Jiva Goswami discusses Bharat Maharaj in Bhakti Sandarbha and says that when he left home and he's going to become fully Krishna conscious, then he could have, there were two options. One was to move into an ashram, existing ashram, in the forest with other renunciates and serious devotees. Or he could have established his own ashram and be more sort of peaceful and independent and whatever. Jiva Goswami says that decision, that I don't want to be with the devotees, I want to do my own thing, that decision was the result of a previous offense. And Jiva Goswami says there's no record of what that offense was, but we can understand there must have been such an offense. And then, so that was the first thing, to not go to associate and live with the devotees. And then the second was to become attached to the deer. If he'd been with the devotees and the deer had come along, the devotees would have told him, "Oh, come on, what are you doing? Just leave the deer. It's a wild animal." But no. He became confused. So here's an interesting point about association. From Srila Prabhupada, devotees are like mirrors. We cannot see ourselves. I mean, you can look at yourself in a mirror, but when you look in a mirror, you are not seeing what, so to speak, you or your body really looks like, isn't it? The right side is on the left side, and the left side is on the right side. Everything's around the other way, because it's a mirror image. So unless you see a photograph of yourself, you'll never really know what you look like, or your material body, or your face looks like. You'll never know, because you look in a mirror and it's very misleading. Anyway, but devotees are like mirrors in a nice sense, not meaning that they distort things, but through the devotees, through hearing from the devotees, we can understand what is our position and what do we need to do. Therefore, every devotee, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "He who flatters me is my enemy. He who criticizes me is my friend." Normally people will see things the other way round. But all of us, we all need at least one person who is nicely, not like aggressively or anything sort of negatively, but every one of us need at least one person who is going to be honest with us and tell us, "Look, you know, don't do this, do that." Sincerely, not just because they want to criticize or find fault, but they actually want to help. They have our interests at heart. We all need. Otherwise, you know, devotees are so nice. I mean, in a certain sense of the term, the devotees are so nice. If you ask them, "How am I doing?" So many of them will say, "You are just doing fantastic. You are just doing wonderful." But devotees, don't mind me saying it, I think some of us, or maybe all, are not really doing so wonderful. And we could use someone to kind of help us get sorted out a bit. Let's see here. Let us see. Okay. No, I can only go on so long before the body goes into collapse mode. Okay, okay. What now? What was I going to do? Okay, so let's move on to getting good association. Getting. Listen to this. I want to give you a few little quotations. These are actually from Bhakti Sandarbha. I mean, that's where they can be located, but they're from other different scriptures, from Padma Purana. A person who worships Lord Govinda but does not worship the Lord's devotees is not himself a devotee. He is only a pretender. O best of Brahmins, when he is remembered, spoken to, or worshipped, a Vaishnav, even if born in a Chandala family, brings great purification. Jiva Goswami's commentary. If one sees a Vaishnav in any other way, one commits a great offense. This is described in the following words of the Itihasa Samuchaya. One who thinks that because of his birth a Vaishnav is a low-class Sudra or Swapacha goes to hell for a long time. In another passage of the Skanda Purana, in the conversation of Markandeya and Bhagirata, it is said, Lord Hari does not accept 12 years of devotional service performed by one who, seeing a devotee from afar, does not go to greet him. And then another from the same place. Lord Hari will not forgive the sins of one who, seeing a devotee, does not offer obeisances and worship. I don't know if you ever experienced it, but, you know, we see occasionally here and there a couple of devotees, somehow they don't get on. Did you ever experience that? Never. Okay, you experienced it. Yeah. It happens. It happens. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just following on these, what is said here from Skanda Purana. Lord Hari will not forgive the sins of one who, seeing a devotee, does not offer obeisances and worship. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that if one, when one sees a devotee, one does not feel joy, one is already a resident of hell. Yeah. I mean, there's some very heavy statements about such things. So even if there's a devotee we don't get on with, and we don't see eye to eye with, and so on and so forth, but we should, just to save ourselves, always be so happy and eager to offer obeisances and offer some nice words, positive words. It's really important. Yeah. And if there's some devotee who doesn't like us, somehow, and there can be many reasons for that, but if there is, then how should we take it? Should we take it that he or she, they are in Maya, illusion? Because me, I am nice. I'm just a jolly nice devotee. And they should, you know, if they can't see that in me, there's something wrong with them. You know, like, seriously wrong. You know, but this is not really how we should see such situations. I once had a devotee like that in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Somehow he decided he didn't like me. Yeah. But then I would always offer obeisances when I saw him, whenever I saw him. And his heart softened, and we became very, very good friends. You might not know Bhakti Brajendra Nandan Swami from Malaysia. We became very close. And he passed away about a year or so ago. So, yeah. And to this day, I never asked him what's the problem. But definitely for a while, he had a thing, a bee under his bonnet, a couple of bees, and they were just buzzing around and agitating him. So, no, but how should you see it? You know how you should see it? And this is a very important part of how you should see it. You should see it that me, in the past, I've done so many wrong things. So many. How many people have I killed in previous lifetimes? Now you might be a gentle Gujarati lady and you think, killed people, me? Don't be too optimistic. You know, and how many people have I disturbed? How many lives have I destroyed? And it's hard to actually sort of enumerate or calculate. But at least one should understand the history is like that. The history is very much like that. We have done, I mean, just if you were brought up as a non-veg in this lifetime before you became a devotee, just that is enough. Just that's more than enough. To what to speak of people getting a bit upset with you, that's just more than enough to be killed viciously many times. Oh yeah. And even if you were veg, but you were not offering it to Krishna, you were ruthlessly killing your alu and gobi. And you might think, wow, that's okay, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And what to speak of previous lifetimes and what we may have done, because we've been in this world for many lifetimes. Millions. Millions, we cannot even really calculate. And what we've done, what we haven't done, would be a lot easier to calculate than what we have done. Probably, you know, there's nothing we haven't done many times. Yeah. So as a result of all that, sometimes someone decides they don't like us. These things happen. These things happen. Yeah, so if we find ourselves in such a situation that someone is, you know, like treating us badly and like that, first thing we should do is attribute it to that. Yeah. This is why. I mean, maybe there's some immediate causes too. But if nothing else, things from the past. Because there are many things from the past. Too many. And then, we should, just like I in my little way, try to please that devotee, we should try to please them. We really should. to gain Lord Vishnu's mercy, one should first please the Vaishnavas. When the Vaishnavas are pleased, then Lord Vishnu is merciful. Of this there is no doubt. So, I'm going to wind up in a minute. Let's just see. Okay, now here's something important. Practical, down to earth. So how are we, us, members of ISKCON PE, how are we going to get good association? Well, okay, here's a few points. I mean, you could write them down or record them or something. First thing, this is just important. They must be followers of Srila Prabhupada. You know, there are many Vaishnavas around in the world who are not members of Prabhupada's movement, or who were, I mean, in some cases who were. But how to get good association, they must be followers of Srila Prabhupada. Then you get good association, not just by sitting with the person, but you have to render service. And even you render service in separation, association is there. Now, with the spiritual master or seniors, we have to do two things. We have to serve them and inquire from them. This is how to get good association from seniors, the spiritual master, or just seniors in general. With equals, we have to befriend them in Krishna consciousness. Not befriend them just in the sense of, hey, how's it going? And what's the latest? All that sort of thing. But befriend them in Krishna consciousness. That, you know what I read yesterday? And then get into some discussion like that. Yeah. And with juniors, we have to be kind. And we have to be very careful not to mix these up. There's seniors equals juniors. We should not mix up the ways of interacting. That with seniors, we try to be kind to them by giving them good advice in Krishna consciousness. And with juniors, we take advice from them. Or we just hang out with them and befriend them. Let me tell you a story. And many of you will have heard this. A story from Amsterdam. You heard this story? Anyway, I'll tell it. They were installing, I think, Radha Krishna deities in Amsterdam. I think it may have been 72. Something like that. And it was pretty chaotic. The devotees, you know, things were not ready in time, and things were done wrong, and all this type of thing. And Srila Prabhupada was kind of frustrated. That, what are you doing? Yeah. So eventually what they did, because part of the program was to have a fire sacrifice, they got the fire sacrifice arena ready. And the temple president said to Prabhupada, "So Prabhupada, it's ready." But it was sort of naked, so to speak. It was just, there were no flowers, there was no fruit, no vegetables, because you're meant to decorate. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, the president said, "So we're ready though, for the fire sacrifice," and Prabhupada said, "Where is the fruit? Where is the fruit?" And the president, like a light lit in his brain, the fruit. He ran into the kitchen Where's the fruit? Prabhupada wants the fruit. The devotees in the kitchen, their experience with Prabhupada was that when he wanted fruit, he would often have it as a fruit salad, cut up. So within 2 minutes, they cut up the fastest fruit salad you ever heard of, or what to speak of, witnessed. They did. Big fruit salad. Really big. And the president came out with this, you know, serious bowl of fruit salad. Srila Prabhupada, here's the fruit. And, you know, so many things had been going wrong. And Prabhupada was really, you know, he'd almost kind of had enough. And when he saw the fruit salad, he just looked away. He didn't say anything. Harisori Prabhu said that when Prabhupada was really angry, he would chastise you. But when Srila Prabhupada was really angry, he wouldn't say anything. He would act like life is going on. Prabhupada didn't say anything. He just looked aside. Standing right next to Prabhupada was one hippie boy with beads and long greasy hair and just, you know, sort of like a classic hippie type, chanting on the beads and watching what's going on, all these mistakes, and Prabhupada becoming more and more upset. And then the fruit came, the fruit salad, and Prabhupada didn't say anything, just looked away, and the boy was there on that side. So Prabhupada just looked aside and just... The boy got an inspiration. He leant over to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada looked at him like, who are you? And Prabhupada picked up his beads and started chanting Hare Krishna. But this is an example of trying to instruct someone, you know, Prabhupada, who's really senior, to put it mildly, let alone sort of a normal senior. Here's another interesting one, which I haven't told for a long time. There was a devotee in Italy. He had been a priest in a village, a Catholic priest in a village, for years, like 20 years. And Catholics, they do confessions. Usually, I think, every week, you're meant to go in and confess that I did this nonsense and that nonsense. And so this, he was doing this for like 20 years or more even. And they do the confessions in such a way, you can't see the person. There's a curtain. But it was a small village. And after a while, he got to know everybody in the village extremely well. And he knew, aha, this is such and such. And the next one, oh, this is such and such. And he saw, these people are just coming back time and time and time again and confessing the same things. The process is not working. And he became a Hare Krishna devotee. He became a devotee. Yeah. So, yes. So how to get good association, that's what we're talking about. They must be followers of Prabhupada. You don't just sit with them, but you should discuss, you should render service. With seniors, including spiritual masters, you should serve and inquire from. With equals, you should befriend. With juniors, you should be kind. And you should not mix up these things. Let's see here. He Here's something interesting. Just listen to this. Srila Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada commenting on the famous verse, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi. You know that verse. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That just a moment's association with a real sadhu is enough to bring all perfection. So Prabhupada says about that verse, in the beginning, provided one is pious, because without piety, nobody can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are simply acting piously, such persons can approach the Lord, not impious persons. Therefore, we should be very, very careful about impious activities. Impious activities, we know the four legs of impious activities. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. So therefore, we should be very, very careful about these impious activities. You cannot make any spiritual progress by simultaneously acting impiously and at the same time. It is sure it will go. The impiety will go away, but it will go very slow. Just like if you have got dry wood, then the fire ignites very easily. And if you bring wet fuel, it takes time. Of course, as soon as there's fire, the wetness of the fuel will dry, but it will require extra energy. And if you put dry fuel, then it ignites very easily. So in order to keep us dry, without being wetted by the impious activities, then spiritual progress will be very quick. We should remember that. Okay, so there's some thoughts on this subject of getting, giving and getting. Good association, giving and getting, good association. Any comments or questions? Prabhu?
Could you please explain how association, good and bad, acts as a mirror?
Well, see, that's not really the point. We're going to talk about bad association tomorrow, you know, that's one point. But association, good association with good devotees who care about you and who are mature enough to understand you enough. They can act like mirrors in the sense that they see you, they understand you. And they will try and help you. They won't be afraid to point out some fault. They won't be afraid. But they'll do it nicely. Yeah. They'll do it nicely in such a way. I mean, hopefully they'll do it nicely. In such a way that you get the message, yeah, you know, this is actually correct. I really need to adjust things. So in that sense, but bad association, well, you could say, if someone just flatters you, you are such a great devotee. Whereas actually you're not such a great devotee. You're trying to hang in there somehow. But they keep on and on like that. Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate that sort of treatment. He would block his ears. Yeah. Of course, devotees, you know, they're prone to be nice. But here we're talking about trying to help devotees. So it really helps to have at least one devotee who is capable of helping us and who's willing to help us and point out some things. Otherwise, in ISKCON, it's not so hard to end up thinking that you're more than what you are. And that's a problem. Is that okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Some other comment or question?
Guru Maharaj, everyone. So sometimes when we visit our family members, like in our situation, we go to Durban, our families are non-devotees. What's the best advice in terms of our association with them? And this could be our own brothers and sisters and our parents.
Yeah, sure. And now that's important. You know, first of all, of course, we try and make them into devotees. Some may become, some may not, or to some degree, some might, you know, it just depends. But if we, particularly if we come to the point where we realize these people are not going to become devotees, they are just fixed in their materialistic ways, then we should minimize the association. And only associate as much as we need to, just for niceness. Yeah. And then get away and don't sort of hang around and just get into all the talks about this one and that one and, you know, the local politics and all that. Very nice. Should always be very nice because, you know, like particularly parents, they gave a lot for you to become whatever you may be today. They gave a lot. So that needs to be acknowledged. You know, to be ungrateful is not a good quality for a devotee. Yeah, but at the same time, to become entangled on the mundane level in the name of being grateful is just not a good idea. Because we won't be able to help them, and we will become sort of degraded, really. If not like, I mean degraded, even if it's just a little bit. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Ko Premanande.